Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5. And which text is on the board? 41 is on the board. So I'll read 39 and 40. This chapter is entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Nairitaste samadishta partra vaishulapanayaha tigmadangstarkaralasyas tamrasmashru shiroruha nadanto bairavang nadam chindi bhinti tivadinaha asinang chahanan sulai paradang sarvamarmasu. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for those two verses. The demons, rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, thus began striking the tender parts of Prahlad Maharaj's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish, coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him up! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 41. Pare Brahmani Anirdeshe Bhagavati Akhilatmani Yuktatmani Apala Asan Apunyasheva Sat Kriya Pare Brahmana Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya Pala Asan Opunya Seva Sat Kriya Pare Brahmana Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya pala asan apunya seva satkriyaha pare brahmanya nirdeshe bhagavat yakilatmani yuktatmanya pala asan apunya seva satkriyaha. Please chant. Pare Brahmani Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya Pala Asan Apunya Seva Yatsat Kriyaha Pare Brahmani Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya phala asan apunyasyeva satkriyaha pare brahmana nirdeshe bhagavat akilatmani Vaishnavis. Pare Brahmani Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya Palan Asan Apunya Seva Satkriyaha Pare Brahmani Nirdeshe Bhagavat Yakilatmani Yuktatmanya Pala Asan Apunyaseva sakriya. So, go ahead. Paribrahmaniradeshe. Bhagavachakilatmani. Yukta manyapala asan. Punya Saiva Shakriya. So word meanings pare in the supreme. Brahmani absolute. Anirdeshe, who's not perceivable by the senses. Bhagavati, the supreme personality of Godhead. Akila Atmani, the super soul of everyone. Yukta Atmani, on he whose mind was engaged. Pralad. Apalaha, without effect. Asan, were. Apunyasya, of a person who has no assets in pious activities. Iva, like. Satkriyaha, good activities, like the performance of sacrifices or austerities. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus, the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Please repeat, even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus, the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj was constantly and fully engaged in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Govinda Parirambitaha, Prahlad Maharaj engaged himself always in meditation, and thus he was protected by Govinda. Just as a small child on the lap of his father or mother is fully protected, a devotee in all conditions is protected by the Supreme Lord. Does this mean that when Prahlad Maharaj was attacked by the demons, the Rakshasas, Govinda was also attacked by the demons? This is not possible. There have been many attempts by the demons to hurt or kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he cannot be injured by any material means because he is always in transcendence. Therefore, the words Pare Brahmani are used here. The demons, the Rakshasas, can neither see nor touch the Supreme Lord, although they may superficially think that they are striking the Lord's transcendental body with their material weapons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as anirdeshe. We cannot understand him to be in a particular place, for he is all-pervasive. Moreover, he is akilatma, the active principle of everything, even material weapons. Those who cannot understand the position of the Lord are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschacha Deshtarne Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Rupadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Chadvaitam Savadutam Purajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanang Pavane Vyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shadvaita Gadadhara Shavasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one has to be really demonic to attack a five-year-old child with weapons nonetheless. Really, really gone, demonic. But it's not surprising because we know they attack them even in the womb when they have absolutely no chance of running away or escaping or... So we're not surprised. Those who are lost to the demoniac side, completely controlled by the mode of ignorance, they will do anything and everything as long as it suits their purposes, allows them to achieve what they think they need to achieve to be happy in this world. So in this case, these Rakshasas, they're sold out completely to Hiranyakashipu. So as soon as he said, kill him, they were ready to do it, even though it's a five-year-old boy. No hesitation on their part. But they were not successful. As Prabhupada said in his purport, they hardly had any, what were the words he used exactly? He said, Protect my Lord. The demons can neither see nor transport. What did he say? He said something about, had hardly any effect on Prahlad's body. So anyway, that's the point. Because Prahlad, why is it that Prahlad was fearless? He was not afraid. His demons came. I mean, we're afraid even when we see somebody we know, like on the Harinam party the other night, the Halloween parade. One of our bhaktas was dressed in his devotional clothes, but he was wearing a scream mask. It was a little, you know, it was a little off-putting. You know this person, you know it's Bali, but he's wearing this really... weird, grotesque-looking mask, and it's a little bit like, whoa. So we're scared even by people that we know. Well, to speak of some, bunch of Rakshasas with weapons come at you, you're definitely going to... I mean, people were running later on after we left. The party was over a little further up on Hollywood Boulevard. There was some shooting at a club, and people were running all over the place. And as soon as you hear a gunshot, everybody's afraid of it. So we're fearful. But why is it that Prahlad was not afraid? Yes, because he's taken complete shelter of Krishna. And this is how we glorify Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate. By the way, it's Srimate, not Srimati. Srimati is the female form, like Srimati Radharani. For Srila Prabhupada, it's Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. So, we glorify Srila Prabhupada. We offer obeisances to him because he's very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken complete shelter at his lotus feet. So this is the position of the pure devotees. They take complete shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And because they're completely sheltered on Krishna's lotus feet, then they can give shelter to others. They don't claim that I'm giving you shelter. They say, come with me and take shelter under Krishna's lotus feet, which can give, are so large, they can give shelter to everyone. Right? We know that. Where is that stated? Yes. Samasutaye Padapalava Plavam Mahatpadam Punya Yashomarari Babambari Vatsapadam Parampanam Padampadam Yatpipadam Natesham. That Krishna's lotus feet are so gigantic they can shelter the entire Mahat, the entire universe, the entire material creation, not just this one universe, all of them. Krishna's lotus feet are capable of giving shelter to everyone under all circumstances. So Prahlad Maharaj was feeling that shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, so he was not afraid. He was in the transcendental position beyond the modes of material nature. And that can be achieved by any one of us. That's our natural position. Our natural position is the transcendental position. The conditioned state is an artificial state for the living entity. The living entity is by nature pure. The living entity is by nature eternal. The living entity is by nature joyful. So when we're in this miserable temporary state, experiencing these temporary manifestations, it's because it's an unnatural state. And that's why we don't feel comfortable here. We're in an unnatural condition and a natural position. Doesn't feel right to us. Birth, death, old age, disease, these things don't feel right to us because it's not our natural state. So then we should be attracted to taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. But how to do that? How to do that? Because we all want to be fearless like Prahlad. Anybody, any sane person would want to be fearless like Prahlad. Who wants to be ever afraid of anything or anyone or any condition of life? It would be nice to be on this platform like Prahlad Maharaj, where even when you're in a 5-year-old body, which is totally vulnerable from ordinary point of view, still you're completely unafraid of anyone or anything or any circumstance. So this is desirable, but how to achieve that? So this is discussed way back in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, first chapter, the questions by the sages. It is pointed out, very nice verse there, Apana sanksatim goram yannama vivashogrinam tatasadyo vimucheta yadvibeti swayam bhayam. Very, very important verse to remember. Its translation is, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed at once by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So remember that. Krishna's holy name is feared by fear personified. So if we take shelter, the way to take shelter of Krishna, at all times, but especially in this age, is by taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which anyone can do, even a 5-year-old can do that. Even the 2-year-olds, they already start chanting Hare Bol and Hare Krishna. Anyone, Prabhupada made that point, that even the children are practicing Bhakti Yoga. They come into the temple, they see the adults bow down, they bow down. The adults are chanting Hare Krishna, they chant Hare Krishna. So they get the benefit. It's not that you have to be fully conscious of what you're doing. And no, even when you're unconscious, like that verse says, well, you can be protected even if you unconsciously chant the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. And earlier on, before this pastime, in the Yajamila pastime, another verse pointed that out. It says, this is Yamaraj speaking to the Yamadutas when they came back to him and they were wondering, well, how is it that we couldn't take a Yajamila? We've never been frustrated in our attempts ever before. How is that possible that this guy could escape us? And he deserved to be arrested by us. It wasn't that he was some great person, we made a mistake. He deserved to be arrested. He was a sinful rascal. How is it that we were frustrated? So Yamaraj explained to them about the chanting of the holy name, and this one nice verse he said that, Agyanat Atavagyanat Uttama Shloka Namayat Sankirtating Agang Pukso Dahit Eiro Yatanala. Just like the fire, he said, can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it, similarly, even if you unknowingly or unconsciously chant the holy name of Krishna, it destroys more sins, reactions to more sins than you can commit. That doesn't mean we should go, whoa, all right, I've chanted Hare Krishna, now I can go out and sin like anything. No, we shouldn't think like that. But the power of the holy name is such that by even unconsciously, agyanat atavagyanat, if you chant it with knowledge or without knowledge, the holy name, Uttama Shloka Namaya, the holy name of Krishna, who is known as Uttama Shloka because he's worshipped with transcendental songs, then you're destroying more the reactions to more sins than you can commit just by that chanting. But of course, if we are actually trying to consciously surrender to Krishna, then we don't try to take advantage of that. That's one of the offenses to the holy name. Namno Balad Yasahi Papa Budhi. The 7th offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. That I know that this chanting is powerful. I know the holy name is not different from Krishna. So, hey, I'll just do whatever I feel like doing and then tomorrow morning I'll pick up the beads and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, that is an offense. And for such a person, you're not going to make very much progress. I mean, progress will be there, but it'll be very slow. Once I asked a senior devotee in New York, I said, how does this work? Because on the one hand it says, you know, chanting the name destroys more sins than you can commit. But on the other hand, it's saying here that it's sinful or it's an offense, and it doesn't seem to mesh. It doesn't seem to mesh. So that senior devotee told me, he said that Krishna play is hard to get. I haven't verified it in the Shastra yet, but that was his take. That if you commit sinful activities while chanting Krishna's name, then Krishna will play hard to get. You'll be chanting, and you won't feel that you're achieving Krishna. He will keep himself distant because you're not following the standard recommended process. And as we know, we chant every morning, Bahu Janma Kari Yada Shavana Kirtan Tabutana Paya Krishna Pada Premadan. If you're infested with the 10 offenses, then you can go on chanting this Mahamantra for lifetime after lifetime, and you won't get the ultimate goal, which is love of Godhead. That's the point. You may keep yourself above sinful reactions, but you won't get the ultimate goal, which is love of Krishna. And that's what the pure devotees give us. When we associate with pure devotees directly or indirectly, we get this attraction for developing love for Krishna. We're studying the prayers of Queen Kunti. Every Sunday we're hearing Prabhupada speaking chronologically these prayers. And in one of her prayers she says that she was bewildered, that she said she had this vision. Obviously she wasn't there when it happened because she was not in Vrindavan. But news must travel outside Vrindavan because the devotees outside Vrindavan, they know what's going on in Vrindavan. And she was saying that, I see that Yashoda's taking up a rope to bind you because you've committed some offense. And then tears are flowing from your eyes and washing the mascara away from your eyes. And you appear to be fearful, even though fear personified is afraid of you. She said, this is bewildering. This is bewildering. So we see that even the pure devotees, they're meditating on this Damodar Leela. They're meditating on this Damodar form. And at least for this month, we should really, really try wholeheartedly to enter into this meditation on Krishna in this form, this childhood baby form, running away from Mother Yashoda. Namameshwaram Satchidananda Rupam Asa Kundalam Gokule Rajamanam Yashoda Vyog Lukatavana. We should meditate like this, that Yashoda is binding Krishna, Krishna's running away in fear, his eyes are fearful, his breathing is quick, it's, you know, like that. We should meditate on this pastime and really enter into that. And then when we really enter into that pastime, then we don't want anything else because it's really such a so satisfying to the heart to meditate on Krishna in this baby form. And his activities, naughty activities, stealing the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of the storeroom and then quickly running away. This is all wonderful transcendental meditation. This is the real object of meditation. Those who are sitting down, pressing the nose, closing the eyes, and chanting Om, they're getting some benefit, but not the same as the devotee meditating on these forms of Krishna. Because Krishna's form is the ultimate reality. Krishna's form is the source of everything. So when we meditate, when we reconnect, that's what yoga means, to connect our consciousness to Krishna's form, name, activities, pastimes, entourage, when we link ourselves to these transcendental manifestations, then we start to feel that transcendental joy, the happiness. And Krishna promises that if you do this, in the 12th chapter, Krishna says that if you worship me, if you dedicate your activities to me, matsanyasa, parayana, if you meditate on me, if all of these two verses, the 12, 6 and 7, Krishna says me so often. And how can the Mayavadis say no, it's not Krishna, it's beyond something beyond Krishna? Krishna says there clearly, you worship me, offer your activities to me, meditate on me, engage in devotional service to me. Me, Krishna's saying there. And he says, if you do that, then, Tesha Mahamsa Mudatar, what is that? Mrityu Sangsara Sagara, yes, Mrityu Sangsara Sagara. Krishna says, Bhavami, I become, again, me, he's referring to himself, I become the swift deliverer of, I take you out of the ocean of birth and death. We have that exhibit in the museum. Krishna's pulling up the devotee out of the ocean of birth and death. So, yes. Tesha Mahang Samudarta Mrityu Sangsara Sagara. Krishna will come and deliver us from this ocean of birth and death personally. He doesn't say, I'm going to send Garuda to get you or I'm going to send Matsya Avatar. No, he says, I personally come to deliver you from the ocean of birth and death. So we should take that seriously. We should take that seriously. If we really want to get out of here, then we should just do these things that Krishna recommends in those two verses. Worship Him. And so, Srila Prabhupada, on the order of his spiritual master and going back all the way to the order of Lord Chaitanya, has established this transcendental movement. If it's not transcendental, then it can't save anybody from the ocean of birth and death. It's a transcendental movement because it's transcendentally initiated and authorized. So if we take shelter of the Lord in this way, not being, as Prabhupada used to say, facetious and trying to jump over and you can take shelter directly of Krishna. No. Have to take shelter in the standard way, by taking shelter of those who have already taken shelter of Krishna, like Prahlad Maharaj. We're all Prahlad Bhaktas also. Srila Prabhupada was definitely a Prahlad Bhakta. And because we're taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, we're all Bhaktas of Srila Prahlad Maharaj. And we do that. We take proper shelter going all the way back up the chain, then we're automatically sheltered by Krishna. There's no question. It's like that pastime of Madhvacharya crossing that river. River was in fierce feature. There was no boat would dare to go across it. So what to do? They had to get to the other side. So he said, okay. He told one disciple, you hold on to me, and the next disciple hold on to him, and like that. And he made a chain, and he went under the river and walked under the bottom and came up on the other side. And because they had full faith in him, and they followed his instruction, they all made it without drowning. So it's like that. If we hold on to the parampara with full faith, we won't drown in this ocean of material birth and death. We'll just cross over. Like that verse says, the whole ocean of birth and death gets reduced to the size of the amount of water in a cast footprint. You can easily step over. And so Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting this fearlessness, which is very, very attractive and appealing. We're all drowning in this material ocean of birth, death, and hurricanes and gunshots when you don't expect it. Everything. It's so such a fearful place. Such a fearful place. We are in danger at every step. Padam padam, yad bipadam natesham. We want to get to param padam. We want to get out of this padam padam where every step is dangerous. Literally, every step is dangerous. I was reminded of that personally once in New York. I'm walking along 34th Street. Briga would know, 34th Street near Park Avenue, going towards 7th Avenue where there's Macy's and all that. So I'm walking across 34th Street. And there was a high-rise building right on the corner of Park and 34th. And literally, I escaped just by a step. Somebody had a flower pot way up, one of these high. And he came down, bang, right in front of me. Another step, it would have been right on my head. So it's like that. There's danger at every step. But sometimes we forget that. When things are going nice, we tend to forget that. As Prabhupada says, there are no atheists in the foxholes. When things are bad, generally speaking, like when, I'm sure when Sandy hit New York, everybody was praying like anything. I remember Kumi was pointing out the other day that, yes, it's not only female names, because who was that? That Sura was saying, yeah, that all these big storms are. So she said, no, there was Andrew. So I remember when Andrew hit Florida, there was a story. Some guy refused to evacuate. He thought, it's not going to hit. So he stayed with his family at home. And then sure enough, the hurricane hit and was tearing the house apart. So they all went in the bathroom, the only place they could think of it, hunkered down. So the guy was explaining later on that even though he was a grown man, definitely potty trained, he lost it. It was so much, the noise and the shaking and the whole house was getting torn apart. He lost it. He couldn't control himself. So this is the situation we're in the material world. Even though we may be in adult bodies, fully potty trained, it can get so hellish and so heavy that we answer the call of nature involuntarily. So we want to get out of this place. We should want to get out of this place. And only a complete pure devotee who doesn't care whether they're in Vaikuntha or hellish planets, heavenly planets, to them it doesn't matter. Because they're fully transcendental like Prahlad Maharaj, not being affected, like Prabhupada said, by material conditions. So it doesn't matter for them. Or somebody who's completely ignorant, animalistic consciousness, they also don't want to get out. But anybody in between who's a little bit aware of what's happening in this world should want to get out. This is the initial impetus for taking to spiritual life, wanting to get out of the material miseries. That's okay. One does not start on the highest platform. One has to start somewhere. So in the beginning, as Krishna says, Chator Vidabhajante Mam, Jana Sukritin Artha jigyasa arthartha, gyanichab arthartha. So those who are in need, those who are suffering, it's okay. They turn to God. That's fine. That's the beginning. But unfortunately, quite often, when you turn to God and your life gets together and you at least achieve the mode of goodness and things are looking bright and rosy, then you tend to forget. And you tend to turn away or slacken your determination to get out. And then everything starts looking attractive again. Oh, rather than staying in a hellish city, I'll just get a nice farm somewhere. And I'll grow asparagus. And it seems all nice and rosy, and you don't get, the determination anymore to get out. So Prabhupada wanted us to stay in the cities and preach, because when you stay here in the city, then you see every day how hellish it is, the hellish traffic. No matter how nice your car is, you could be driving a $200,000 car, you're still stuck on Venice Boulevard like everybody else, or stuck on the 405. There's no magic, formula that for getting your 200,000 car over everybody else. You still have to drive on the same roads. And ultimately, you're going to die like everybody else. So when you stay in the cities especially, you see that. It's, in the country, and mode of goodness, it's nuts. You don't feel the pressure so much. But when you stay here in the city, you feel the pressure of material existence. You feel the pressure of the suffering of others. As devotees, we're not necessarily suffering so much. Things are pretty nice. You get up every day, there's prasadam, there's a deity worship. Everything is kind of nice, wonderful. But we feel the pressure of others, how they're affected by the changing material, ever-changing material conditions. It never stays still for a moment. Material energy is endlessly mutable, always changing, and therefore there's no fixity, as Prabhupada was saying. Therefore, you can't feel, who can feel, safe on a shaky, leaky boat? You can't. So it's like that. It's always shaking, it's always leaking, and therefore we can't feel happy here. And the real example that Prabhupada is setting is just take shelter of the Lord completely, and then you will be fearless, you'll be happy, and even the demons may attack. You just go on doing your thing, just go on chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, any questions, comments? The Bhakta, what is your name? Anthony. Bhakta Anthony had his hand up first. No, chanting unconsciously generally refers to those who have no commitment at all to chanting. Just like Prabhupada would give the example of the Muslims, sometimes they would make fun of the Hindus. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We experience that also on Harinam. You go out to chant and people come up and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and they just make some fun. They're not intending to chant. Inattentive chanting is a little different. You intend to chant your japa, you sit there, but then the mind takes you off. All kinds of places. So one of the injunctions or recommendations for chanting good japa is that whenever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of yourself. Don't just allow your mind to just go off anywhere and then your lips are moving and the sound is coming out, but you're actually with your mind, in Pasadena or Paris or wherever. So don't allow that. When the mind goes off to Paris or Pasadena, bring it back right here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You chant a little louder. You force yourself to concentrate on hearing. See, it's chanting and hearing both. It's not just chanting japa. It's also hearing japa. You have to hear. Prabhupada said you have to hear every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So if you're not hearing, then force yourself to hear. Bring your mind back under your control. And then you'll become more and more practiced as you get practice. In the beginning, don't worry so much about speed. Worry more about hearing and chanting nicely. Chanting the words clearly and hearing them clearly. And then as you progress, speed will get there. Or maybe not. There are devotees who have been chanting for decades who are still chanting 8-minute rounds, 10-minute rounds. But it's okay. It's okay. And that's what it takes for them to hear clearly. Whereas others, with practice, they get down to 5 minutes or even a little less. But we're not in a race here. It's about chanting nice rounds, clear rounds. And that way your consciousness will be clear. When you chant clearly, your consciousness clears up rapidly. When we chant inattentively, then we, even after the 16 rounds, we still feel fuzzy and, you know, it's not clear. Is that okay? All right. Who's next? Was it type of it or? Oh, all right. Brigger says he has the mic. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Okay, go ahead.
Who are you mentioning in your class? Very nice class. Thank you, by the way. That we should meditate on this pastime of, Damodar Lila, Krishna and running away from his mother and like that. And then also at one point in your class, you mentioned how we shouldn't jump over. You know, we should, and, you know, at different times in lectures, Prabhupada would say, the more you become servant, you know, you become dasu, servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That's, you know, quite a common theme throughout a lot of Prabhupada's lectures. The more you become servant, the more you're perfect. So, when are you jumping over? And it's like sometimes this is a legitimate question. Sometimes I'm praying to Krishna, and there's all sorts of statements where Prabhupada says, take shelter of Krishna, Krishna's your only friend, like that. And I feel like, okay, you know, now I'm doing it. I'm taking shelter of Krishna. And then I remember like, well, wait a second, what, you know. And then I remember the other statements where Prabhupada's saying that, you know, you have to become, the more you become the servant, the better it is. And I'm feeling like, what direct relationship do I have with Krishna? I should just pray to my spiritual master. And if I'm going to get some mercy from Krishna, I'll get it by, you know, by praying to Prabhupada to come like that. So, you know, what exactly is the jumping over? I mean, when are you jumping over?
I'll give you an example. One devotee once said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, my favorite author is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Prabhupada cut him off immediately. No! I am your favorite author. Yeah, so you can't do that. You can't jump over your guru and go to the six Goswamis. You have to go through. So whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us about the six Goswamis, but he also told us to pray to Krishna. So you're doing it in an authorized way. You're not just jumping over your guru to get to Krishna.
Whatever you're doing on the instruction of Prabhupada, you're okay.
We all have, obviously, a direct relationship with Krishna. We do. That is the philosophy. But to reawaken that, to retain that position, one has to get the favor of Krishna's devotee. You can't just come to Krishna and say, you know, hey, here I am, take me. Yeah, you can do that. But Krishna himself says, take shelter of my devotees. Learn from them. They will teach you. They have seen the truth, and therefore they can give you the truth. So that's the process. We take shelter of the pure of Krishna by going through the parampara, and the parampara advises us to meditate on Krishna. So that meditation is authorized. It's not jumping over at that point. The pure devotees are telling us, think of Yashoda and Damodar. Think of them. So when you do that, that's not unauthorized meditation. That's authorized meditation. Where did you get that from? You didn't just wake up one day and come to that conclusion. You got that from Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master. And he told you, meditate on the form of Krishna. So you're doing it in an authorized way. And the proof that you're doing it in an authorized way is that when you start to feel the fruit of that meditation, you become even more attached to your spiritual master. You feel more grateful to your spiritual master. Whereas the Mayavadis, they use the spiritual master as a ladder, Prabhupada said. They use the spiritual master as a ladder to make spiritual advancement, and when you feel yourself advanced, kick the ladder away. Now you don't need guru anymore. That's not the mood of the Vaishnava. The mood of the Vaishnava is, yes, by your instructions, I'm becoming purified, I'm feeling satisfied, I'm feeling happy, therefore I'm more attached to you. Now I really want to serve you. Please tell me what to do. What can I do? That's the mood of the Vaishnava. Type of it had his hand up before. And that should be the last one. It's already almost quarter after. If it's short, then we'll go on to Bana. If it's long, then we'll have to end.
This verse says, Apala asan apunyasyeva satkriya. And it's translated as, even though a person who has no assets in pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. So this appears to apply to people who chant, since they apparently don't get too much result from just casual chanting. There are many people who have said Hare Krishna.
There's a difference between pious activities and transcendental activities. When you come in contact with the name of Krishna, that's a transcendental connection. It's not a pious connection. Because Krishna's name is never in the realm of piety or impiety. It's beyond that. And that's why it's stated, that verse I quoted from Yamaraj. It's an activity beyond piety and impiety. Therefore, once they've chanted Krishna's name, you can't touch them anymore. That's what he was telling Yamadutas. They're not in your jurisdiction anymore. It may take some time for them themselves to even realize how much they've benefited by that chanting. But they're not under the connection of Yamaraj anymore once they've chanted. That was the whole point he was making to the Yamadutas. Whereas what Prabhupada is saying here, or this verse is saying, is that pious activity. And why is it that you don't get any result? Because pious are impious, as Kaviraj Maharaj says, in this business of good or bad, it's just manodharma. It's just mental, you know, activity. There's no ultimately good or bad, it's all bad. So whether you perform some so-called pious activity or it's all keeping you still within the realm of the material world. Therefore, it's nothing. That's what the point that's being made here. Whereas anything that has some transcendental connection, even once chanting the holy name, like that verse I quoted from the first canto, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed at once by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So that's a different activity. That's completely transcendental. That's not what's being said here. This is mentioned because of the fact that the demons, they were trying to attack Prahlad, but they couldn't do anything. Just as the comparison is, just as, you know, if you're doing some little pious activity, it practically has no effect on your life. So similarly, the demons could not affect Prahlad in any way, because they're under the modes of nature, and Prahlad is on a transcendental platform.
But then would someone who just chants once, say, he sees the Harinam party, says, they're the Hare Krishna devotees, will that offset everything he does in life that would normally entangle him? And if that's the case, then millions and millions of people must be prepared to, you know, get out of the cycle of birth and death.
Yeah, but it may not happen immediately. It's not that as soon as you chant once, your material body falls off and you go back to God. It's not like that. But you've started a path. You've started on the path, and you will not... Prabhupada said, Krishna will at some point drag you back to God kicking and screaming. Once you've started the process, Krishna will never let you go. So that one chanting, I mean, again, it seems they're back in the modes and they're doing all kinds of stuff. But Krishna is going to remind them a little later and then a little later. And each time they come a step closer. And then at some point they'll be out. Just by starting that one Hare Krishna, even in jest, even angrily, get these Hare Krishnas out of here, they're disturbing us. People say like that. You know, we're chanting on the promenade, we go back to some restaurant, I've seen it happen. Especially I remember one older woman one night, she was so upset and angry. Get out of here, you're disturbing us. We're trying to have a nice meal and you're disturbing us. But because she heard the holy name, she didn't even chant it. She heard it. By the time they covered their ears, it's too late. They already heard it, it's in there. And the effect will take place. It will happen. They will go back to Godhead eventually. Maybe not immediately, maybe not even this lifetime. They may have to take another birth, just like that Muslim fellow I mentioned in previous class. He was in Portland, Oregon. He was coming every day, young man in his 20s, but he had a family. And then one day the devotees heard he died in a car accident. They were devastated. So they wrote to Prabhupada, you know, and why would that happen? Why would Krishna do that? He was coming nicely every day, chanting and taking prasadam. And Prabhupada said, because of his circumstance, you know, Muslim family and Muslim body, it would have been difficult. So Krishna moved him, so give him a chance to continue. Easier chance. So that will happen for everybody who has heard or chanted Hare Krishna. Jai, Mantra Chimit Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Rumors of the business thing. But does this wouldn't